her body started convulsing. And I knew immediately, these are demons manifesting.
Well, Catherine Crick, it's great to have you here on Charisma to be able to talk about what it is that God is doing. And I love the sign behind you, Revival is Now. I want to start with that because we love revival, and Charisma Magazine has been around really since the 70s, in 1975, and it has been so focused on reporting on the revival that God is stirring right in our world today and highlighting those things. And one of the things that we love is seeing how God is using women in a powerful way. And whenever I first saw you, it was a couple of years ago on social media, and I saw this powerful woman casting out demons in the streets, in the parks, wherever it was. And I just saw the authority that you took. And it was almost like a mom just disciplining her kids right in public. You're a stern mother and you're just, okay, you leave and you're not making it a big show. I love this. And so, Catherine, I want to hear your story about Revival is Now.
Yes. So thanks for having me. Revival is now, indeed. And this isn't something that I just like came up with or something, a hopeful thing to say. It truly is the word of God for right now. A little backstory on me. I never wanted to be a minister. I never wanted to be an apostle. Public speaking was my biggest fear and weakness. But in my mid-20s, around 2015, I encountered the power of God for the first time. And my eyes opened up to God's love for me and his nearness and just his majesty like never before. And so I surrendered everything for the first time in my life at that point. And I really meant it. I said, God, take my dreams, my will, my plan, my plans, everything. And so about 9 months later, I attended a conference, and the minister there, the prophet, he prophesied to me that I was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I was called to reach the nations, and God was going to do many miracles through me. And when I heard this word, I was so shocked because public speaking was my biggest fear and weakness. I actually wanted to be a singer. That's what I was pursuing at the time.
Really?
Yeah, a Christian pop EDM singer-songwriter. But when I heard that word, I knew in my spirit it was God speaking. And I just wanted to be in God's will more than anything else. So kind of like Mary, I just was like, okay, I'm a servant of the Lord. Okay, yes, I accept. I had no clue how it was going to work, how it was going to happen, but I trusted God and I just wanted to please him and be in his will. So that prophet ended up becoming my spiritual father. And about a year later, he actually prophesied that God has heard America's cries and prayers for revival, and God has answered them. And he is bringing revival now to our nation, and it's going to spread across the whole world. And when I heard that word, once again, I knew it was God speaking, and I had this conviction in me. I knew God was speaking to me. Catherine, I'm calling you to keep this flame alive, like this prophetic word. I'm calling you to keep declaring it, keep believing it, even when you're not seeing it in the physical. And so I did that. So I started a church. God called me to start Fivefold Church back in 2017. And we had about 20 people the first year. We had 15 the next year, 10 the next year, 5 the next year. Then COVID hit and we had 2. And God was taking me through the refining fire through that season, testing my faith. Would I really believe that revival is now? Because we look like we're going backwards.
Right.
We're moving power from time to time, but not like revival like you imagine, like the masses coming and miracles and salvation happening everywhere. But through those years, through those four-ish years, I kept declaring revival is now pretty much every service. And so God also called me to put out videos online, preaching videos and videos showing God moving when we would see him move. Yeah. And so around New Year's Eve of 2020, I put out a video montage, just 59 seconds, showing God moving in power that past year, even though we were a tiny church. But you could see God moving in power and people being, and one person, a couple people being healed. And I put it out on TikTok. I didn't really have any following at that point, but in a day and a half, actually on my 30th birthday, January 1st, the video went viral and it hit 1 million views. Wow. And, but the real miracle is that there was thousands of comments of people testifying of miracles they received while watching. Mm. Of people saying, my pain left, my sickness left when I watched this. And even atheists commented, a couple atheists said, I'm an atheist, but I felt power when I watched that video. And so that was like the walls of Jericho coming down. And that's honestly the first time I saw like revival is now manifest. And I was shocked. It was the biggest birthday surprise of my life. And, you know, I immediately got a following on online. God was doing miracles on every live now. And I had only seen him do a miracle on one live stream of mine before, 2 months earlier. Okay. And that was every time. And we were meeting in the park because it was COVID. Okay. We couldn't meet in the building. So then word started to spread. And so we started to grow from 5 people in the church in the park in January 2021. To March 21st, which is this week that we're recording this right now, there was about 20 something people there. And on this Sunday, one woman traveled from Massachusetts to attend our service because she saw a video of me online. Literally. The video was circulating, and she said she saw Jesus in my eyes.
Wow. So literally she went coast to coast. She went from Massachusetts to California for this.
And
wow.
Then another woman came from Nashville to LA as well with her friend. And I'm coming to church this day more expectant than ever because I know the principle of hunger. I was like, Lord, what are you going to do today? I can't believe you brought these people to our little church in the park of 20 something people. They're getting on planes to come. Like, what? And God actually surpassed my expectations that day, even though I had high expectations, because that day, that woman from Massachusetts, I started praying for her, just like I would pray for people the past 4-something years every Sunday. But this time, something different took place. As I began to pray for her, declare over her, she fell back with the power of God, and then her body started convulsing. And I knew immediately these are demons manifesting. And that was the first time I'd seen that in my ministry. And so glory to God. God helped me and led me to really walk in my authority and confront the demons for the first time. And I commanded the demon to go, and the demon left her and she was set free. Praise God. Amen. That was the first deliverance that ever happened in my church. And a video of her deliverance went viral. And so people started flocking to the church. Deliverance was taking place every week, not just one, now several immediately. Revival was breaking out. And then a couple months later in May 30th, 2021, 300 people showed up and so many were set free. God was doing miracles everywhere. We were all rejoicing. I'm pretty sure most of us had never seen God move like that, move in such power. And so we were meeting in an amphitheater in the park. And so it went from like 6 months prior, I was preaching in the park in 105 degree weather. And there was to one person. And the one person left in the middle of me preaching. And so I then just like turned to the camera, the live stream, which I don't know even know if anyone was watching. That was 6 months prior. Fast forward 6 months later, the amphitheater was overflowing, literally. Miracles were happening everywhere. God is so faithful. So that's the story of Revival Is Now. And from there, God is just grown that revival that came there in our church in LA, to where hundreds have shown up every single week since that day. And for about a year and a half, people have traveled every single Sunday from different nations to encounter Jesus at our church in LA. And I've, by the grace of God, I've been able to travel to many nations and minister and see so many people set free, thousands coming hungry to receive freedom and encounter Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Catherine, as you were telling that story, I want to ask you something that I think it's definitely stirred up in me. And I know a lot of people are like, man, I can't believe that Catherine, who I know now because of the social media influence and the church is growing and it's big now. And, but you started off with like a handful of people, and then the next year it was less and then less and less, yeah, and then down to two, and then COVID hits. My question for you is, how did you keep hungry? Because it would have been easier to say, I guess I'm going to starve to death. Because God gave you that word. How did you keep hunger and anticipation at the tip of your tongue?
Honestly, obedience. Just obedience. That was it. My love for God. Hmm. That was the only thing that could keep me strong. I'm grateful for the word of God. Two things: the word of God and my mentor, my spiritual father. Hmm. That kept my faith alive and kept me strong, because in those moments where it feels like we're going backwards, God would put in my heart the story of Joseph, where he was given this dream, this amazing dream by God. This is your promise. This is what I'm going to do in your life. And then like the next second, he's thrown in a pit. This exciting moment happens, and it feels like he's gone way backwards. And then he's sold into slavery, and then he ends up being falsely accused and being thrown into prison. And so I just think about how he must have felt like everything went bad after receiving the promise. It felt like he was going backwards. Mm-hmm. But really, in the spiritual realm, he was going forwards. As God said, what they meant for evil, I meant for good. I intended for good. So it's like God wasn't concerned about what the enemies were doing, about what his brothers were doing to Joseph. Like, he had a plan in this. He was going to use this as an avenue, number one, to get him into the land, into Egypt, where the promise would be fulfilled by them selling him into slavery. But also, God was just mostly concerned about what was going on in Joseph's heart, that Joseph was going to be able to be ready to be able to handle this promise when it was going to come. He needed to be built up, have this strong faith in God, be tested through the fire. So that's what God was concerned about. You know, that's why if you're going to be used powerfully by God, if you have this big calling on your life, that means it's the bigger the fire, the bigger the testing, the harder the things you're going to have to go through, because the Bible says it's the fire that purifies us. Amen. So, I mean, when you're a mature Christian, you realize, I just got to accept it and have a good perspective about it. Like, when it happens, you realize, oh, this is the purifying fire. So this is a step forwards. In the physical realm, it feels like a step backwards, but it's really a step forwards. And I look back and I see that's the truth in my life. Like, I went through things, and I'm just giving you the Cliff Notes version. Like, I went through some biblical like persecution and Joseph brother kind of stuff, like lies being made up, like what? Like things that you don't deal with prior to carrying the anointing, right? You know? And so I went through a lot of things, but I literally see how I changed through that. I was transformed more to be more like Christ. And that was necessary to be able to do what I'm doing now, walking in my calling. And so I renewed my mind, you know, in those times when it was hard. This is what God's doing right now. And so I trust him. And I, through tears sometimes, you know, through tears when it was really hard, I would just say, instead of complaining, I would just say, Lord, I trust you. And I thank you that you're in charge of my life. Your plan is best, not my plan. And I know that you have to take me through things to prepare me for this promise, to do this big thing you call me to do. And I humble myself, Lord, that even if it were to be 50 years of wilderness, I'm still not worthy of walking in this big promise that you've given me. So I humble myself. Like, I won't complain. I just trust you, Lord. And God, I want you to do what you need to do to refine me, to prepare me for this. So really humbling myself and making obedience priority is what got me through.